So go to 10th Canto, chapter 34, verse number 27. 10:34:27. Okay. Krosantam Krishna Rameti Vilokya Swaparigraham Yata Gadasyuna Grasta Brataravanvadvanvatam Kroshantam, crying out, Krishna Rama Iti, Krishna, Rama, Vilokya, seeing, Swaparigraham, their devotees, Yata, just as, Ga, cows. Das Yuna, by a thief, Grasta, seized, Brataro, the two brothers, Anvadvavatam, ran after. Translation, hearing their devotees crying out, Krishna, Rama, and seeing that they were just like cows being stolen by a thief, Krishna and Balaram began to run after the demon. Now this is from Nanda Maharaj is saved and Sankachuda is slain. So Sankachuda is stealing the gopis and now Krishna and Balaram are going to run after them. So last night we spoke about some of the names of Lord Balaram and their meanings and we expanded on some of the principles of the names actually carry with him in terms of his activities, his qualities, and his relationships with his devotees. So today I thought I'd speak a little bit about Balaram Tattva, because before you can really understand Leela, you have to understand Tattva. And Tattva and Leela go together. Tattva means the philosophical knowledge that is the foundation for a particular aspect of the spiritual realm. So there is Guru Tattva, there is, you know, there is Shakti Tattva, there is Pancha Tattva, so many Tattvas. And so Balaram is interesting in the sense that he's unique in the sense that he is non-different than Krishna. In fact, he's so non-different than Krishna that the scriptures make only one statement of difference. And that is that Balaram's color is like a white spring cloud. So beautiful. And Krishna's color is like a blackish rain cloud. So also so beautiful. So from the color, their bodily hues are different colors. Otherwise, there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. The actual understanding as given by Chaitanya Charitamrita is the role that Balaram plays in relationship to Krishna. But for the sake of function, Krishna expands himself into Balaram. Now, this is a very interesting statement because you would think that when something comes from something, something before then, but whatever comes from that doesn't exist. As you say, something comes from something. You come from your parents. That means before you weren't manifested in your bodily form. Of course, you were there in a spiritual existence. But for Krishna, for spiritual, what we say, nomenclature, understanding, that everything is eternal. Everything is eternal. So if something is coming from something, it just means it manifests itself in a certain way, but it always exists, that's all. Because we get confused, because we think in terms of beginning and end, something begins, something ends. But spiritual life or spiritual understanding is everything is eternally existing in its pure spiritual essence. But it manifests itself in different ways for the sake of pastimes and for the sake of functions. So Krishna expands into Balaram, and Balaram expands into what is called the Chaturvyuha, which is Vasudev, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. These are the four aspects of the spiritual existence. And from that comes the Narayan features. So Narayan comes from that for the first few, and that makes up all the spiritual existence. All the planets in the Vaikuntha realm are inhabited by manifestations of Narayan. Now from Narayan features, there's another expansion which comes the second Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And from the second Sankarsan, there's another expansion, and that is Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu begins the process of creation. So we can see here where the Balaram plays that role in helping bringing about the creation through his expansions. So that's one of his main functions. Balaram sometimes is called Servitor Godhead, just like the Guru is also called Servitor Godhead. And Krishna, who is the absolute principle of existence, the Adipurush, he is called Godhead who is served. So there's Godhead who is served and there's Godhead who is serving. So sometimes we refer to the spiritual master as that. Why? Because the spiritual master is coming from the Tattva, Lord Balaram. Or of course, it also mentioned he can come from the Tattva of Radharani also. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it mentions in the very beginning, Adi Lila, that the Guru is either a manifestation of the expansion or Tattva Balaram or Srimati Radharani. And there's two different levels of gurus there, of course. Because Radharani is called Prem Guru. She teaches pure bhakti in love for Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. By engaging people in the service of Krishna, in the mood of Vrindavan. Where Balaram, he is the principle of Guru, which expands itself into all the gurus that come. Because Guru is one. There's no such thing as two gurus. Sometimes they say, well, my guru and your guru. But you can say that, and that principle of Guru may manifest itself in a multitude of forms, but still Guru is one. The principle of Guru is one, like that. Same with the principle of God. Just like sometimes people say, well, I worship my God. Krishna is your God and I have my God. Well, it's the same God. But he has different forms, different ways of relating to those who worship him. So different types of worship, different ways to worship, like that. But the principle is always one. That's the nature of spiritual. So then from Mahavishnu expands Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and from Garbhadakshay Vishnu sprouts the lotus flower from his navel, and then Lord Brahma appears from that lotus. And then, of course, after becoming enlightened by Krishna, he starts to formulate all the bodies in the material existence. And from that Garbhodakshay Vishnu also there is a second, another expansion called Shirodakshay Vishnu, like that. So this Balaram is very important to understand in relationship to how everything functions. It says the whole spiritual world is actually a manifestation of Lord Balaram. His energy, it's Balaram Tattva in the sense that he is in the principle of serving. So he's serving Krishna in so many ways. He's always thinking how to serve. Of course, he knows how to serve. He doesn't have to think about it. But his mood is serving. So when he appears as Lakshman, he's serving Ram. When he appears as Nityananda, he's serving Gauranga. And when he appears as Balaram, he's serving Krishna like that. So that's his mood like that. Because actually, in the same way, the tattva is that the spiritual master is the best and pure servant of Krishna. So in the same way, Balaram plays that role. Now, in the rasa tattva, which is another aspect of Balaram's existence, he manifests himself in a particular way to interact with Krishna in certain different rasas or mellows. Like we have five mellows. We have neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and then, of course, conjugal love, vadoya ras, like that. So Balaram appears in all five of the rasas in one form or another in order to assist the Lord in facilitating these different moods of rasas. So in neutrality, this is very important for us because he's very much with us in neutrality. That's Balaram right there. It's called Balaram Mridanga. It's not like an accident we give it that name. Like that. So the Mridanga is actually a manifestation of the paraphernalia of the Lord. So the arti paraphernalia also is an expansion of Lord Balaram. The umbrella, sometimes we see the deity has an umbrella, that is also Balaram. The shoes of the deities, that's also Balaram. Some jewelry, not all jewelry, is Balaram. Some jewelry. Now that needs some explanation, which I won't give. But some jewelry is Balaram and others are not. And of course, and so just like the arti paraphernalia, just like when we do the artis for the Guru or for Srila Prabhupada and for the Panchatattva, we should know that's sacred. It should always be kept in the best possible way, always kept clean, and it's seen as worshipable, the paraphernalia, because it is actually Lord Balaram like that. So in the neutral rasa, we find that Balaram appears in these different manifestations of himself in order to assist for the nature's sake of worship like that. He's also the bed of the Lord. When the Lord takes his rest, Balaram expands himself in that form as the bed of the Lord like that. In Dasya Ras, it's just a general statement. It says that he serves the Lord in different ways. He serves Krishna in different ways. He just thinks of different ways to serve. In Sakya Ras, he is a good friend of Krishna. So he plays with Krishna along with the other cowherd boys. He's also a cowherd boy. We were mentioning, we showed one verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 21 here. It's here. It says, the cowherd girl says, "O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Nanda Maharaj are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouth and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision." So Krishna and Balaram together, they're herding their cows, they're in the mood of Sakya Ras, they're surrounded by their friends, and they're also cowherd boys, and they play on their flutes. So in that Leela, or that Rasa, Balaram is assisting Krishna, and also performing his own transcendental pastimes in the mood. In his natural mood, it's not he assumes a mood, but he is transcendental cowherd boy. When Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were together in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya was a little concerned. He had asked Lord Nityananda to stay in Navadvip to preach in Navadvip, and he was going to preach in Jagannath Puri. But Lord Nityananda had so much love for Lord Chaitanya that when the devotees came, Jai Panchatattva Ki Jai. And when Lord Nityananda has so much love for Lord Chaitanya that he could not bear the separation. So when the devotees came for Rath Yatra, He came on that year. But the Lord was a little concerned. Mahaprabhu was concerned. So he called him over and said it was a private conversation. Of course, somehow or other, we found out what it was. But the conversation was that Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I'm here in Jagannath Puri, but we need you should be in, you should go to Navadvip. So take your gopals, that's the word he used, take your gopals and return to Navadvip and spread the Sankirtan movement. And of course, Lord Nityananda, although he had so much love for the Lord and he wanted to be with him, still he's very obedient, at least most of the times. There are a few times where he enacts his own transcendental pastimes, which appear to be contrary to what Lord Chaitanya has asked him to do. But this is the sweet rasa that they have. And so he took, it says he took his gopals, that means his devotees are all in the mood of, you know, Sakya rasa. Mahaprabhu's devotees are a combination of Sakya, but mostly Madhurya Ras, because Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radharani and Krishna in one. He's actually Krishna, but he has Srimati Radharani's moon. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nohi Anya. So he's more in that mood of Madhurya Ras and in that incarnation. And then, of course, Lord Nityananda is in the mood of Sakya Ras, because he's actually Balaram. So we see from that he assists the Lord in that. Now in Vatsalya Ras, what does Lord Nityananda play? He plays the role of the elder brother. So he watches Krishna when they go out and play in the fields, and sometimes he makes sure Krishna comes home for lunch. In other words, Krishna doesn't like to stop his playing for eating. So when they bring the lunch out, then he has, it's okay. But when his mother sometimes calls him, she makes a special meal for him sometimes, and she calls him and he doesn't want to come because he'd rather play. Sometimes they say that, you know, Purnamasi, in order to facilitate Krishna's eating, Purnamasi, she's the CEO of Vrindavan. She makes sure that everything in Vrindavan goes on for the pleasure of Krishna in the transcendental way. She's Yogamaya, actually, but in the spiritual world, she's known as Purnamasi. She's an elderly lady, and she's an elderly gopi. So what she does is make sure that Krishna goes for lunch by sending another demon to Vrindavan. So when the demon comes to Vrindavan and Krishna stops his playing to protect the devotees of Vrindavan, so he kills the demon. And after killing the demon, you know, he has to work a little bit. So he gets hungry. So after getting hungry, then they stop and have lunch. So and killing demons sometimes gets you a little tired. Krishna's leela. So in order to get Krishna to eat, so that rasa as Vatsalya rasa, he is the older brother. Now in a previous manifestation of their relationship as Ramchandra and Lakshman, he was the younger brother. And a few times, you know, he got instructions he didn't want to do. What was that one instruction? Well, one of them was when the Lord told him to take Sita out of Ayodhya and bring him to Valmiki's ashram. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to see Sita and Ram separated. But he did it, and he was crying during the whole time. What was the other time? Oh, yeah, when they were in Chitrakoot. And Ram had told him to watch Sita while he goes after the deer Maricha. When he killed Maricha, and he came back, and Sita was chastising Lakshman for somehow or other staying and not helping her brother, his brother, when he was in trouble. We all know the pastime. And when he came back and Sita was gone, he got chastised. He got chastised for that. So sometimes it's mentioned. Of course, this is Stala Purana. It's not so much in the Shastras, but it's mentioned that Lakshman was thinking, in my next manifestation as his brother, I'm going to be the older brother. That way I can do what I want. The older brother has, you know, more principle of freedom. So he came, of course, in Gaur Leela and in Krishna Leela as the older brother. So in Krishna Leela, he looks after him. Krishna makes sure everything, Krishna's protected, he doesn't get in trouble. And then in the last one, he's the younger sister in Madhurya Ras of Radharani. He takes the form of Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Radharani. But there's not much mention of that, although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati does mention that in one of his statements. Doesn't give any details of what is the relationship between Krishna and Ananga Manjari. But obviously it's conjugal love, so he also takes that form in order to fulfill that role of serving the Lord in the Madhurya Ras. So he likes to serve in all these different rasas like that. So Balaram is interesting in the sense that he performs many of his pastimes. But he is Guru Tattva. We were mentioning how that if you want to overcome certain anarthas, the anartha of improper or illicit relationships with the opposite sex, puja, desire to be worshipped, pratishtha, the desire to gain fame. These are one demon is manifested as Palambasura. So who killed Palambasura? Balaram. Balaram killed two demons in Vrindavan, Palambasura and Dainukasura. Most of the demons were killed by Krishna, but it says that these two demons have a special relationship in terms of the anarthas they represent with the aspiring devotees. Because mostly the demons that Krishna killed and the anarthas they represent, those anarthas are destroyed by the process of bhakti. By chanting, by following strictly the process of bhakti, one can overcome these anarthas. Except for these two demons. Dainukasura represents, hard struggle to enjoy material sense gratification by working hard. What does the donkey do? He works hard. He puts his load on the back of the donkey, and he moves the donkey along by holding some grass or a carrot in front of the donkey's nose, and the donkey is going, yeah, if I just take one more step, I'll get the grass, I'll get the carrot. But Prabhupada says the donkey's so stupid that all he has to do is stop and there's grass all around. But he's thinking, there it is. So he's not considered very intelligent among the animal species. He's nice. Donkeys are, of course, they're also spirit souls, so we should respect them for that. A donkey is who he is. He can't help being who he is. But if somebody acts like a donkey, that's a little bit different. Sometimes we use that statement, but that's not... That can only be used by the spiritual master to his disciple. You're acting like a donkey. We don't generally use it as, you know, parlance for carrying on our affairs. It's a little offensive. So these two anarthas that they represent by these demons, the devotee has to make an effort to rid themselves of these anartha by seeing the anartha and understanding that I have to avoid these activities. So that's special. Therefore, by the grace of the spiritual master, who is the pure representative of Sri Balaram, by his mercy, one can overcome these anarthas. And so this is where Balaram comes in the form of the guru to help us overcome these anarthas like that. Guru Tattva like that. Okay, these are some things about Balaram that we can mention here. So it's 8:45, time for questions or comments. Any comments or questions on Lord Balaram? Something in relationship to Balaram? All right. Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. This Pralamba Sura, he combines different anarthas, subtle and gross lust, distinction, adoration, profit, and gross lust. What that means that when you're on the level of more subtle lust, then when this is not satisfied, or it can equally not be satisfied, then gross lust, and then you fall back to gross lust if you stick to that.
You can fall back. Just like it says that you have a weed, and the weed is growing outside of the ground. So you can cut the weed at the level of the ground, but the root still remains. So the subtle is what you can't see. It's more like the root. From anarthas comes subtle to gross, but we remove them from gross to subtle. First we get rid of, or we eliminate, the gross manifestations of the anarthas. But then the subtle can again manifest in the form of the gross if we allow those subtles to stay. In other words, you can't stop this process of purification. If you do, you may again fall back to that. And we see that. Devotees practice. They don't get rid of certain anarthas, and then they go again. They start coming back to their old bad habits again. So, yeah. Yeah, so you have to continue with the process. Can't stop. Just like we say, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meeting, no gambling. These are the manifestations of the gross forms of sinful activities, but all of these carry also subtle aspects. So the process of purification goes from gross to subtle, but the process of contamination goes from subtle to gross. Just like when you get a disease, you may not even know you have the disease, but at one point then it'll manifest in some physical or external symptoms. Like a good example is coronavirus. You know, there are people who have it, but they don't manifest the actual symptoms externally. But if they don't take care of themselves, it will come in that form, like that. So contamination goes from subtle to gross, and elimination goes from gross back down to the subtle.
You've said, I've heard this before, this anartha of lust, we should do something about it.
It affects other people too.
it doesn't purify automatically. But why is that so? I've spoken to one senior brahmachari, and he says, I don't have problem with austerities of not eating, not going to bed or something, but this is an austerity, he says, being being restricted from this sexual sense.
Yeah.
Enjoyment, sense gratification, and well, I have the same experience, and it should be purified with bhakti, I think, because I'm helpless with this anartha personally.
Well, when it becomes so strong that you can't deal with it, you're going to fall down. Sometimes we recommend that, you know, graciously move into the ashram and then regulate it in that ashram. Because there's regulated sense activity within the Grihastha ashram. Mm-hmm. And that is called Kamospi Bharatasabha. Krishna says, I am that sex life that is not contrary to religious principles. So that is for the procreation of children. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's one way. The other way is to really chant Hare Krishna. Because Prabhupada said, If you start to chant Hare Krishna and you're really starting to develop and making progress, when you're fixed, you're not bothered by these other things. Prabhupada said, when he gave sannyas to many of his disciples, he could understand they weren't completely freed from that tendency, but if he said, if you remain fixed in your chanting of Hare Krishna, you can actually, you know, overcome that. He told that to a few sannyas candidates like that. So the holy name is powerful. But we have to chant without offense. We have to at least come to that stage of chanting without offense. Yeah. Like today's Ekadasi. Are we gonna just do our 16 rounds and that's all? Because we could do that, but why not take the advantage of the Ekadasi day? Which the Kadasi means chanting. It means to chant, and really means to chant 24 hours. That's the actual Kadasi. And not eat anything or drink anything. That's all Kadasis are Neil Jail, really. But we can't follow that. So Prabhupada gave us what we could do according to our, you know, level of, you know, development. So, you know, no grains, no beans like that. But Kadasi is an opportunity for increased devotion. It's called the mother of devotion. So why not chant more rounds today? Go for, you know, I know devotees who chant 64 rounds on this day regularly. It's a regular thing for them. There's some Russian devotees that chant 192 rounds. Yeah, because, you know, in the Haridasa Kaur, 333,333 names. It's 192 rounds. That was Srila Haridasa Kaur. But so there's a few devotees. And, I know there's one sannyasi who's now, he's a Russian sannyasi. He used to chant, you know, like that. So, but if you can chant more rounds, that's nice. You know, it's actually, you're actually honoring the Ekadasi. Like that. So. And that'll help you to strengthen your Krishna consciousness, where there's different levels of that lust, and there's different things that stimulate that lust. If you could be stimulated internally or you could be stimulated externally. If you're stimulated externally, you're in trouble. You're really in trouble because that means you have a long way to go. If you're stimulated internally, it means it's still the subtle root is still there and you're going to have to work on it like that. So that you can stop simply by diverting your attention away from that. But just chant. The holy name is powerful. It's Krishna himself. In all his Nija Sarva Shaktis, all the powers of Krishna are found in the holy name. Everything's there. We have to have faith that the holy name is everything. And it is. On the highest platform of spiritual practice, All you need to do is chant, that's all. There's no other sadhana that's needed. But we don't recommend that, because whatever sadhana we do is purifying our existence so we can come to the platform of chanting more and chanting more purely like that. So Prabhupada mentions that everything we do in devotional service is meant to, for our purification, but that purification takes the form of increased quality in the form, in our chanting of the holy name. But Maya is strong. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.